Welcome, everybody, to issue 133 of Heroes Asylum, post-KaiserCon. So if anybody did make it out there to see us, thank you. We appreciate it. We had a blast, and I'm sure we'll do something like that again. But, of course, like every week, I do this with Kane. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you? I'm actually doing pretty fantastic after that con. That was fun. I gotta admit, it's not a big scale con like some of the bigger ones, but you can see that what the work is to go into that, especially if you're at a booth.
And it was a really small one. So the work we put in was very minimal compared to what these guys have to do.
Everybody else, too, like, man, they gotta tear it, set it up, tear it down. Some of the stuff they just left overnight because they had, you know, Deputy Dewey over there watching. But I can only imagine like a bigger one, like the amount of effort and production that goes into it. So kudos to all the vendors out there. Jesus, you guys do a lot, especially when you got to sit around for almost 7-8 hours.
So. Yeah, and again, this was a short one. I mean, we were only out there 4 hours, I think. Not even 4 hours, 3 hours, I think, on Friday with it open. And then the 8 hours we were there during the day. So, yeah, you know, if there was one where it was a Sunday, I mean, that burns your whole weekend. I know I'm playing recover today, but, yeah, we had a blast, and hopefully we will see. I know I'm going to plan to get out and see some of the guys that we met, you know, got a chance to actually meet some of these folks that are, that do the cons, and I know we're going to be meeting up with them. There's a con here in Orlando, Villain Con, coming up in end of January, so want to check that out, maybe try to add that into our repertoire for next year.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out, see all those. Yeah, we met some really cool people there. I will say that. Awesome costumes, too. I mean, really cool, especially that one Rocket Raccoon costume. But I don't think it was $65,000, like he said, but hey.
It's okay. No, you didn't smell the whiskey, did you?
No, I didn't smell whiskey. But he sure talked a lot, though.
All right, guys, so we're going to kind of go over, like, everything that we do every week. We talk about all the news and basically anything, like, pop culture-wise that's, it's in our time, in our wheelhouse of comic book movies, sci-fi, fantasy, everything. Kind of something I want to start off with tonight because it's kind of near and dear to my heart, and it was really a shocker when I got home last night. I saw that Anne Rice passed away, and if anybody knows me, knows I'm a big avid reader, she was actually, her books were the ones that got me into reading when I first, when I was a kid. You know, yes, I read, like, the Lord of the Rings and the Narnia books that my grandparents gave me, but somebody that, like, I just picked up out of the blue and just read, and then I devoured the rest of the books, and that just got me going, was Anne Rice. She, I guess, passed away last night with complications to from a stroke. She was 80 years old.
Wow. That's...
So, I mean, a major, amazing career, just the goodies she gave us as far as, like, that she gave us, the real vampires. Some people are very sensitive about that, but, that's got kind of like,
weren't sparkly and they were more realistic.
They were still scary, Now they're not scary anymore when you look at, most of vampires that come out in pop culture.
No, they're kind of like throwaway characters now, almost like, there's vampires, whatever, just stake them, they're dead. But
not even that. No, there's more of a heart to them. I mean, yes, there was a heart to Louis and there was a heart to Lestat, but there was evil behind them too. They had those great moral grounds. Most vampires nowadays are just more, heartthrobby type characters. I think the only one that's sort of like really I'm like nowadays I've gotten into that I really like is an author called Deborah Harkness. She does the Discovery of Witches series. It's a trilogy.
Oh, okay.
There's a show on it on Stars. I think they're on season two right now. But she kind of gives there's a flavor of Lestat and Anne Rice. You can definitely see the influence there. But yeah, she was a big part. I can't remember how old I was, but I was sick. My mom has a library of books. And I just wandered in there when I was sick one day, and I just grabbed a book. I grabbed an Interview with a Vampire, and I remember just I was feverish, and I just devoured the book within like a day. I've never read a book that fast since. So and she became a big part of my reading library.
And she was, I think she was producing that Lestat series, wasn't she?
She's doing an Interview with a Vampire series, and it's basically she's doing the Vampire Chronicles. She was part executive producer with her son. And he's, you know, they're going to continue doing that. And just a month ago, not even a month ago, probably just a few weeks ago, it was announced that her book series, The Mayfair Witches, which is another big, you know, another big part of her world, is going to be made into a series as well. So, you know, so kind of she is leaving us with amazing legacy, amazing stories. And again, you as somebody that loves multiverses, she existed in a multiverse. Her Vampire Chronicles and her May Witch stories lived together. They were in the same world. They actually met each other. There was a group very similar to the, if you remember the Highlander series, the Watchers of the Highlanders.
Oh yeah,
there was a group called Talamasca.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they intertwined with the witches and the vampires. So, again, anybody that's you know big into the multiverse, like you know, multiverse is everywhere nowadays.
Yeah, it's multiverse after multiverse after multiverse. It's too much
multiverse bukkake going on right now. I'm kind of
yeah, I didn't say it.
It is. I'm like, okay, guys, we got it. We like multiverses. Move on. So, but yeah, that was a big shock when I got home last night. So, you know, your thoughts go out to her family, her son, definitely. Now let's see. So what news did you come across or anything that you wanted to?
Oh, what do I just finished watching the Justice League trailer, the Justice League, the Suicide Kill the Justice League.
Oh, okay.
For PS4, PS5. That's what I was doing when we were setting up. Man, this game looks bonkers. Like it just looks. It almost looks like Grand Theft Auto, but with Suicide Squad.
Now, was there gameplay in it?
There was gameplay. There were showing tons of gameplay. They were showing the gameplay where Captain Boomerang is just shooting up some Brainiac tentacles.
And is it gameplay or is it animation from the game?
There was some gameplay and animation. Okay. But there was some gameplay on there. You saw, like, you could actually see, you can move King Shark around. Like, and, like, this whole little trailer, they were fighting the Flash. They're calling the Flash useless. He's like, out of all the Justice League members, you're the most useless. And you see Barry just trying to fight them all. It's actually pretty good. It looks crazy. I mean, that's all who they showed was the Flash and, like, the main Suicide Squad, which is Harley Quinn, King Shark, Boomerang, and Deadshot. So that's the only ones you'll see so far. But it looks pretty good. I mean, graphic-wise, I mean, the gameplay, it looks kind of bomb. It looks like Saints Row.
Yeah.
That's an old game I used to play for PS4.
In video games nowadays, I'm never worried about graphics, all right? This is the day and age that if you somehow make a bad graphics game, you shouldn't even be in there. Yeah, every game nowadays should have great graphics. It's the story. It's the playability. I mean, look at probably the biggest flop of this year in video games, the Avengers.
Oh, that was last year.
So last year. Yeah. Well, it's still kicking around. It's still fighting.
It's 2 years in a row.
It's still fighting, man. They're I think they just announced that you could download it now free on the Xbox Play Store as one of if you're part of the you know part of their membership, you can download that.
That game should have been so much better, so much better. Yeah. And they started adding like the DSLs, like the new characters like this year. I'm like, why didn't you do that the ending of last year? Like nobody cares about it now. Like, oh, we got Spider-Man. That was a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, they did everything about it.
Every video game, I'm sure if they try to keep it alive, every year you're going to see something new until they come out with a new version. Because yeah. they do that with all video games. You know, they do that with Modern Warfare. So there's a new, you know, a season one, a season two, a season three to that game. So I definitely see that constantly changing, especially as movies come out. You know, right now, yeah, they're wanting to release Spider-Man because, well, Spider-Man's coming out in a week, so.
Yeah, actually, a lot of stuff is coming out this week. Tons of stuff. We got episode 5 of Hawkeye. We got Spider-Man No Way Home is coming out this week. And what else? We got a TV series premiering, too.
We got Witcher. Witcher comes out to 14.
Witcher, yeah. That's the one, yeah. So we got all those three things looking forward to this week. It's going to be busy.
It's been kind of busy when it comes to the like, TV watching. Because, I mean, we've got Wheel of Time going on right now. Like you said, The Witcher is getting ready to drop. We've got Hawkeye going on. The Young Justice is still continuing. And the last and final season of The Expanse just started last week. So much TV. It's like it's overkill right now. I'm like, crap, I'm running out of time to where there was nothing on television for quite a while.
Now there's too much.
Yeah.
There's too much to consume. And that's like that's the beauty of streaming, which is great. You get all these series, but it's like so hard because TV is so convoluted now. There's just so much you have to watch, and then you got to put in like almost in one day or what you're going to watch one day and what you're going
to
watch.
Or you can be like one of our friends. I wish I can't remember the app, but there's an app that she uses to keep track of her shows. I was like, really? She's like, well, I'm because she's trying to watch a lot of different things. She devours television series like crazy. Like She does all the Chicago shows and all the crime dramas and, you know.
Oh, that's who's watching the Chicago show.
Probably, okay. Yeah, yeah. If you're on your thing, yeah, it's most likely that person. But, yeah, so, I mean, I could get, yeah, when I'm always like, hey, have you seen this? She's like, no, because I'm still catching up from, like, a season ago on something else. I'm like, okay, it's out there. Put it on your list. I know you got your app, so keep adding it. But if anybody's interested, the new Expanse is starting. It looked great. I mean, these guys never have let me down yet. I mean, story-wise, yes, but again, it's the same thing you can always say about any book that has been converted into show, movie, or anything like that. Yeah, there were some fat they had to cut in certain storylines. I'm just very interested with The Expanse. I don't know, have you finished season two yet? Or I know you were kind of dabbling in
season one, man. That's one of those shows, like I was saying, I need that app because I'm literally in the middle of season one, and I liked what I saw. I thought it was good, so I want to keep going, but I gotta, like I said, there's just so much I'm watching right now. That's one of the ones on the back burner.
But the way they started it off, it looks great. They're in an interesting place in their books, in their writing. I mean, the final book just came out a month ago, less than a month ago, actually. But their series is going to end on, you know, season six. And they're sort of, in the book series, the books go 1 to 6, and then from 7, 8, 9, they jump almost 20, 30 years into the future. So you like, you skip this whole amount of time. And so I'm wondering how they're going to do that. Are they going to just stop at the 6? But what's funny is in the very first episode of this first season, they refer to the enemy. That's the enemy of the last three books. So I was like, is that just an Easter egg for all of us fans to say, hey, yeah, that still is there? Or is that an Easter egg saying, hey, this is going to be down the road, you know, we are going to get to this point, but they've got 6 episodes. I mean, they're you know, it's a shorter season this year.
Yeah, condense. I mean, I don't think they would condense all those three books into 6 episodes. That's going to be kind of hard.
They still have to condense. They have to condense about 4 books right now because they still are dealing with the current episode that they're working on. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what route they take.
Huh.
Again, Wheel of Time just came out. So what'd you think about Wheel of Time?
I'm not a book reader, only for some. And as a book reader, I know you have thoughts, but I like it. I kind of dig it. Like the first episode is kind of hokey.
We've already talked about. I'm talking about this episode, this latest one. We don't have to do a recap every time. We've already talked about Wheel of Time. I'm talking about the latest episode because just like
I dug it. Okay. I dug it. I liked it.
Any growth? Any characters you're like gravitating? Because you, as a new fan, really, as somebody that's fresh and basically virgin to this world, you know, are there any characters you're drifting towards? Anyone you're not? I mean, did you have anything like?
Still like the witch.
Still like Moraine.
Still like Moraine. She's my favorite. The big dude who I forgot his name.
Loyal that just came, got introduced.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I like him. I do like the one chick who has like that power. That she unleashed to the fake dragon.
Nynaeve.
She's starting. Those are the ones that are really starting to grow. I mean, like the other ones are like they're still taking time, but those I can see a little bit of growth in each episode. That's why I kind of like them. Perfect. Like I like Green and how she's like almost like the motherly type figure to all these people and guiding them to find out which one is the true dragon. Yeah. Which I guess we'll find out. I guess shortly. Maybe season.
I think it's a 7 or 8 episode series. I can't remember. It's Amazon. They usually go to 8. It's Amazon, so they usually go to 8. So they'll probably take it to that point. There's a few things that were a little different. Like I think the growth. The one of the things I loved about it is when you get introduced to Loyal, and they don't explain it. They really haven't yet. But do you see Moraine's attitude and her disposition change when she sees him?
Mm-hmm.
Like she pauses. She stiffens up and shows like respect. And then she refers to him as Builder. If you remember that, she referred to him several times as Builder.
I did. I thought it was just a throwaway line.
It's not his race built the world around them. They built the city that they're in right now. Built them, and then they all sort of went away and went into their own little world. You know, in their own villages. So they're referred to as the builders, almost kind of the builders of the roads and things like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, that was one of those things like, oh, okay, she said it, but it's not explained. I'm sure it'll be explained.
It was a throwaway line. I was like, really? What is this building thing? I'm like, Bob the Builder? No. Builder. Okay.
And the waypoints that we see them at the very end of the episode, where we see them leaving, the waypoints are designed by the builders. So that's
okay. Wow.
Like he's the one that's able to show them where it is. That's what he is. But his character will grow later on. And I guess probably one of the biggest ones is you and I talked to you. I had an event session and then with you and another friend was the romantic connection between Moraine and the Avalon Seat. I'm not a fan of sex in my stories unless it's a plot point. Mm-hmm. And in this, it has nothing to do with the same. They did the same thing with Rand and Egwene at the beginning. They had, you see them having a sexual relationship of some sort. Mm-hmm. Wasn't needed. Not needed. Like, just show that they care about each other, that they love each other. You don't need sex for that, but that's an American thing when it comes to television. We have to have it. We have to see that there's a love, you know, connection. With Moraine and her, you know, in the Avalon Seat, there's only a reference to it in the books that they were what they called pillow friends.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was talking to
you. Yeah, and I was like, okay, but that, I don't know where pillow friends can turn into a lesbian relationship. I don't really don't get that because they break away from what really happens in the story later on. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm kind of like, okay, that kind of threw me off. But in the fact that they're adding these things in means that they are having to remove something from the story that would be better, that would be more important. Yeah. So, you know, the fact that they're adding and we're complaining, well, they're not doing this, this, and this. Well, you're adding to something. Why don't add? It's already there. I think somebody said it best is the writer, the showrunner is trying to create his version of that book. And it's like, but it's already been made. So it's just one of those things we just got to get through. That's something me personally. It's not that it was a gay kiss or lesbian. It's just I don't like seeing sex in a story if it's not prudent to the storyline. And this has nothing to do with the storyline.
It's just whatever. It was kind of just throwing in there. Hey, yeah. Guess what? They're just making out now.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Well,
no, I mean, even the relationship between the other warder and her Aes Sedai's, you know, that one I got, there was a meaning behind that. They were a very close, you know, unit. So that one was explained and, you know, it wasn't them trying to checkmark the woke thing. And that's almost kind of how I felt this was. It felt forced. It didn't feel natural. So that's my only irk with that one. But again, I'm loving the show so far. It's not going to turn me off from watching the show.
I've been digging it since episode one. Thought episode one was weakest, but ever since then, it's been on point for me.
Yep, continues to grow.
It's just like the character building is what I dig. I mean, the whole lesbian thing, you know, it is what it is. I mean, did it distract me? Sort of. I'm like, okay, can we get back to the story? I want to find out about the dragons. I want to find out more about the Aes Sedai's. You told me about the builder now. Like, I didn't even notice that when she said that to him. But like, that makes me fascinated. Like, I want to know about these builders. What are they? Well, they're building cities around the world. Why are they so important? Like, how long have they been around? Are they immortal? Like, what's up with them? Like, tell me, like, give me like 20 minutes on them. Like, the whole like love thing. It's almost like what you told me with, the big guy again. I'm sorry.
Loyal. It's the silliest name. He's loyal to them. He's loyal.
I don't remember it.
I was like, man, that's just kind of goofy.
But you, the way you explained it in the book with Loyal is that the girl that he was with at the beginning was, they were never really together in the book. They were more of a,
No, you meant Rand. You meant, sorry, Rand is who I'm talking about.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah. Rand.
Loyal's the big teddy bear, if you want to, like,
kind of. Okay. So, like, in the beginning of the show, they showed them like they were together, but like in the book, they weren't together. They just kind of admired each other from afar.
They were sort of, they because they were so close as kids and they were very, there was obviously that a connection with them. But in the town of the Two Rivers, it was basically assumed that they were betrothed to each other. But again, the book has them at 14 or 15. So,
yeah.
It's like just because they're adult doesn't mean, you know, you have to put your dinghy in somebody. Just you can still have a relationship and show that there's care and there's love there without having to say that they're doing it.
Yeah, let's not derobe each other just yet, guys. let's court them a little bit, you know.
Again, they could have spent a little bit more time, you know, in that first episode, explaining a little bit more during that time that you saw them together. So
yeah, now that I think about it, like, I think that the stuff they throw in that first episode was kind of like just thrown in there just to get.
There's a lot, there's a lot to put in that first episode, and it's also there's a lot to put in, and you don't want it to feel too Tolkien-esque because again, it's very influenced by Tolkien, but you gotta have to show that groundwork. You know, he put the groundwork in, and they built their own story off of his you know, his slab.
I don't think there's any way you're gonna get away from the token.
Like, you won't. No, you can't. But yeah.
It's just there. I mean, there's like, it's like you were saying, we had a discussion yesterday, like almost everything that comes out that kind of like these sci-fi, you know, sword and sandals type of fantasy pictures is going to be compared to Lord of the Rings one way or another. It's just there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like everything else that comes out with sci-fi. After Star Wars came out, Star Wars became the bar to look at. You know, before that it was Flash Gordon. Mm-hmm. You know, with this one, Lord of the Rings, that was a big thing. Now, after Lord of the Rings, I think the groundbreaking things that Game of Thrones did. Now everything's going to be compared to Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So there's always this back and forth with whatever the next big one is. Everybody's going to compare it because, well, guess what? That next generation, that generation that grew up watching Star Wars, us, well, we were influenced. We weren't influenced by Flash Gordon, not like George was. We were influenced by Star Wars. So if we're going to create something, Star Wars is sort of already ingrained, and there's always going to be a seed. And the same thing goes with fantasy writers. And, you know, nowadays there's so many big fantasy writers that it's kind of cool to – you can go your direction. You've got your Robert Jordans. You've got your Brandon Sandersons. You've got your George R. R. Martins that are out there. You know, and I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg of those fantasy writers that are out there. I mean, I've probably got about 10 books sitting behind me right now that – I haven't read yet because I want to read them, but these are just other authors in another world. You know, there's just so much going on.
Yeah, there's a lot to digest, for sure. A lot to digest.
So you were talking about the Justice League, the Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad killed the Justice League.
Did you get a chance to check it out, Star Wars Eclipse? This is supposed to be the continuation. Everybody lost their ever loving shit because High Republic came out, and everybody's like, "What is this crap?" You know, this is the continuation because High Republic did their books, did their comics. This is their entry into the video game world. So, what do you think?
What era does this take place again?
High Republic. It's the new phase that they're doing right now. Disney is primarily focusing on the High Republic. They're revisiting in like back issues, like they're reissuing all the classic Legends books with new covers and everything. Like they redid all the Thrawn, the original Thrawn trilogy. They did the Darth Bane. They did the Rebel Squad, Rogue Squadron. They're reissuing the old books, but where they're concentrating on new material is High Republic, and then of course the streaming service is focusing on, you know, the Mandalorian time frame esque.
I saw something in the trailer which looked like a deconstructed C-3PO. I could have been wrong. I mean, the graphics look great.
Well, C-3PO is a model. There's thousons of them out there. Yeah, so it's not him specifically.
I don't know why you would focus it on a trailer though. Kind of like, okay, well, why
he
are we
wasn't
doing
a focus.
This?
He was a quick blip. I mean,
he was. And I'm not saying they panned on him right away, but they showed him. Like, why show him? Like,
well, why show it? Why show Yoda?
Did they show yet?
Yes, I didn't see it. Yeah, he was over. He was in the Jedi Council room, overlooking.
Yeah,
the city.
I didn't see that. That was a quick flash.
Yeah, again, yeah, the same thing.
I was just watching the stuff with like the sabers. Looks like they're gonna battle the Sith.
But honestly, the reason they did show Yoda is Yoda is alive during the High Republic.
Looks a lot younger.
Well, yeah, of course, because he was 900 last time we saw him. So yeah,
900.
I think in the High Republic, I think he's at 200 or something like that. Because I think the High Republic takes place 300 to 400 years pre. YA or YB. I mean,
damn, Yoda's been in the council that long.
Well, he's been a Jedi for that long. So I mean, he was probably in the room. Maybe we're gonna see in the game that when he becomes like part of the council.
Because they showed the Jedi Council room on Coruscant, which was kind of cool, and the whole thing with the drums. I guess that was okay. I guess it's just part of it. So it looked good.
Until I knew what time frame this took place, I thought those were the Yuvongs.
So did I.
I thought when I first saw the drumming, they was like, what? Are we doing this? But then when I saw that it was High Republic, I'm like, oh, never mind. They're not. I was like, that would be awesome.
I wish. I thought they were going that back. I was like, ooh. But it's like you said. I mean, I didn't get into the High Republic. I was like, eh, you know, I'm just kind of Star Wars'd out. So, then after that, I started watching Bad Batch.
Yeah,
so
there is no High Republic on television for you to watch. You have to read. And I can tell you, I read the first novel. I tried to get through the first novel. I'm going to try again. There's too many characters. You know, it's a very large and diverse cast in that book, and it's really hard because they jump around so much. I'm like, I'm trying to put all these pieces together. You know, it's basically the books take place during a moment when the light speed, there's an accident in one of the light speed traveling ways, and this ship just gets exploded and destroys, and so everybody stops light speed travel for a little bit until they can figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. So you're following, you know, a master and an apprentice. You're following a group of young Jedis that are out wandering the world. You're following Yoda and his young apprentices. He's got a big class of apprentices that they get. So there's so many people that you're introduced to, and it's just like a very massive cast. I think if maybe they would have focused and drilled down to maybe a small handful, and maybe they do once by the end of the book. I don't know, but I just have to get through that to that point. I want to reread it, but yeah, it just threw me off.
Yeah, but like I said, I didn't get into it. I just want to kind of rely on you for those book subjects. But game wise, I'm gonna get this game. Not sure if it's for the PS4 or just the 5, because I'm not getting a 5 for a while. But hopefully it's on the 4.
Yeah, I almost sent you a picture today. It was a candle that was scented. It smells like you're never getting a PS5.
You should have. I'm actually going to get another PS4 and give this one to the kid, because you know it's almost Christmas. I'm gonna give it to her. Had all her stuff on there, but. I really have no shot of getting a PS5 at the end of this year. Maybe not for a while. So I gotta.
And I think that's what they're doing. I think a lot of game creators are still continuing. Same thing with Xbox. They're still releasing new games on the old Xbox.
Yeah, it's not going to be obsolete for a while.
I think they
still release on both platforms, because that's what they did for previous ones, like the older Xboxes and PS4s. Like for the 3, when the 4 came out, they still released for the 3. It took a while.
Well, you got to realize, I mean, the new, especially the Xbox, has been out a year already.
Yeah.
Almost.
And so was the PS5.
Yeah.
I think it was the PS5 as well.
No, so. I think Xbox came out first. There was a delay on PS5, and then it dropped like a few months later.
Still delay. If you go to any websites, still delay on PS5. But it looks good. I'm not sure what kind of gameplay we're going to get. I was thinking like KOTOR maybe, but I don't think maybe it's a hybrid of that and Force Unleashed.
I thought I'm trying to remember what engine they said it was on. Shoot, I'm trying to remember what engine.
Are we going to get what we got in, what was the last Star Wars game that we played, that you played, that you stopped playing? I haven't even finished it yet. With the kid.
Oh, no, I finished that one.
Oh, you did?
Yo, I finished it and replayed it twice. You're talking I'm drawing a blank on it, too. It's not The Force Unleashed, it's...
No, it's...
Fallen Order.
Fallen Order, yeah.
No, dude, I beat that. Yeah, I've beaten that.
Really?
I played it twice, dude.
I'm literally stuck on a board where I completed the mission on this planet, and I have to try to track my way back to my ship. Dude, what a pain.
I think you're probably on the one where you have to go underground.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I'll help you out. Yeah, like I said, I've played it a few times. I got stuck on one board. I think the first time I had to play one of the the Inquisitors, and I was like, I know you were gonna. I had to lose the match, but I was like, how do I lose and still survive? And I just kept dying. And finally, our friend Willie showed me how to do that. So, what do you think? And I'm iffy on this one. I really am. I don't know. I'd like to see them try, but there's news. I mean, Disney Plus is talking about doing a Firefly reboot.
Yeah. See, if I say anything, I'm going to sound like a boomer. Boomer.
You're going to throw off boomer energy?
I'm going to throw off boomer energy like a friend of ours said. Boomer energy.
That has fallen into my lexicon. So
it is boomer energy. Yeah, I'm going to borrow that. I they're going to do it. I'd rather they not, because what they're going to do is what they have done for the past 10 years with all this movie culture coming by. It's just, they're going to change everything about it. It's not going to be Firefly anymore. It's going to be something else. They shouldn't even call it Firefly, to be honest. Because you know they're going to do dramatic changes to it. They're probably going to have a female captain. They're going to probably put, like, you know, different races on the ship, which is fine. It's just, it's not, you know,
there are different races on the ship already, so they don't have to change it that much. They are definitely going to throw in a relationship of some sort. I don't know. I think you have to sort of keep, excuse me, you sort of have to keep Mal, his sort of sexist attitude towards certain things is a good teaching moment. You know, I think like if he's acting the way he is in this, he needs to have Inora and he needs to have the doctor, and they need to be there to sort of correct him in his errors of his ways, and then you make the show a learning experience as well. And that's, I mean, that's really what you want in a lot of shows. It's about learning and about growth. And we started seeing that, you know, in Mal throughout the first season. We started seeing him soften up a little bit. He started softening up towards Kaylee. He started getting in, you know, and having a, you know, getting a relationship more with the doctor, and River, you know. Then, you know, but by the end of the movie, you know, she's learning how to fly the ship with him, you know, and you see that softening. And I think you're going to need that. They're going to need something like that. But yeah, I think you're right. There will be maybe one of the characters will change, maybe like, not Wash, Jane. Maybe he'll be a Gina Carano type character, you know, a hardcore, you know, brute, but a female.
Yeah, maybe it'll be Gina Carano too. Who knows? But the thing about it is, Josh is not doing it, and Josh wrote that series. That's his baby. Yeah, so
well, Josh has gotten himself in some trouble.
Yeah, but say what you will about the guy, he did write the show. And he wrote all those characters are his. I mean, to give it off to somebody else, unless they were like right underneath Josh. Maybe his, I don't know. I'm not sure if his brother.
Okay, well, you got to remember, this was a Fox property. Disney bought Fox. So there you go.
I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it.
I sort of am, honestly, and I'm a huge Firefly fan. Yeah, I really am looking kind of forward to seeing what they do, because again, that show, and Josh is always, I'll give Josh this much for everything that bad that's gone on, you know, behind the scenes, you know, and everything, and you know, all the rumors and on all that's been going on with him. He was always ahead of the curve. When you think of Buffy, you know, we always talk to, you know, nowadays the strong female character. What the heck was Buffy? You know, what was River when you looked at, you know, Firefly? He was always the head of the social curve, you know, of, you know, what was going on, you know, and all those stories of, you know, of everything he did allegedly behind the scenes was so backwards from what he wrote.
It was strange. You know? Very baffling. Very baffling with some of these characters who were in there, like Michelle Trendenberg, who played, I guess, Buffy's sister. Mm-hmm. She was talking back about him. Like, oh, he did all these things behind us. I'm like, why didn't I hear about this then?
Well, again, that's something that you have to look at. You look and you talk to women about it. The one thing that they will say is because nobody would believe us. And if I did come out, I would be the one looked at as being the one starting shit. So most women don't come out about these issues. That's straight up. You ask any woman that's ever gone through, you know, sexual abuse or rape, that's probably going to be the first thing that they're going to tell you. I didn't come out because I was embarrassed that it happened to me, for starters. And then I'm going to be looked at as the one that's causing trouble, you know, and you hear that story not only with, you know, allegedly with him, but you look at everything with, you know, Harvey and, you know, Weinstein. Yeah. You see that in, you know, unfortunately and it's been one of those known but brushed under the rug kind of things in Hollywood for decades from the beginning of Hollywood. You always hear of the stories, the casting couching. So, you know, that's why, you know, yeah, you wouldn't have heard it back then. Because who is she going to tell? The internet wasn't out. Or if it was in its infancy at that time, maybe towards the end of the series.
I got you. She doesn't want to be a whistleblower.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it's not until that one brave person, one brave woman comes out and says, this is what happened. And then you have the others going, hey, you're right. Me too.
The dominoes will start to fall.
And hence the Me Too movement. So. But yeah, now, like I said, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Again, because Josh was so far ahead of his time in the writing, it's now. That could be released. That's probably why it's still so popular now, because it still fits in our society. So, Disney doing it, what are they going to do? Wake it up more? It's already a woke show.
They're woken up. I'm like, what else can you do?
Yeah, that's why I'm not concerned about it. It's pretty much a woke show to begin with.
I don't know. I just don't call it Firefly. It's just not going to be Firefly to me. But I mean, when it comes out, I'll give it a look. Maybe one episode or two. Maybe five. I don't know. Maybe four. But if you don't have the guy who was there, who was that driving force, the writing and all that, I mean, it's like you said, it was woke then. You can't make it more woke. So what are you going to do differently? I mean,
continue,
are you going to
continue the adventure?
Is it a continuation with new people on the Serenity? Maybe.
No, I'm pretty sure they'll retell, you know, do the retelling of the, you know, the Valley of Serenity, that the brown coats and all of that, and they'll just continue that storyline just with a different cast. And guess what? Most of the people that grew up watching this are now, you know, if they were a teenager when Firefly came out, guess what they are now?
Young adults.
Young adults. They're, you know, and they're, you know, they're 20s now, late 20s. So, again, seeing fans pick up the property It's great. I mean, look at what Filoni does.
Yeah.
You know, he was one of us. Now he can play in the world and say, I used to do this and this and imagine this, taking those characters and doing this and this. Well, now you can have that in the Firefly world, and actually maybe we get more than one season.
Again, I'm not looking forward to it, but, you know, it's there.
So all right. You and your boomer energy.
Sorry. I gotta thank you for that. You're going to use that to death, ain't you?
Oh, I told you. It's in my lexicon now.
Oh, boy.
All right. So you got anything else?
Did you watch Firefly this week? Did you watch Hawkeye this week?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Loved it. Loved every minute. Still, every... I've always said it all the time. I'm not a big binger, but that is a show that I wish dropped that, like, everything right then and there.
Everything right then and there.
Because I just, after every episode, I'm like, damn it, come on. Urgh.
Now, we got episode 5 coming up this week, coinciding with Spider-Man Homecoming. And, you know, sometimes I'll read some internet rumors, and some of them kind of tickle my fancy, and some of them, you know, whatever, I just toss out the window. But I read a couple. You got Hawkeye. You got Spider-Man. It's New York City. Think we have some connection, maybe? You think we see some Charlie Cox, some Kingpin action, maybe?
Again, that's why I think that's what they're doing, because we know Charlie will definitely be in She-Hulk. All right, that one we know, because she's a lawyer in New York,
and so is he, a lawyer.
So we know that's going to happen. We do know that. Well, we don't know yet, but it is heavily, heavily syrupy, heavy hinted at that that is the Kingpin, and, you know, it is Donofrio, or D'Onofrio. So we do know that. Now, there's one thing that they change, and I don't know if you saw the same video I did, because I didn't see it at first. The Spider-Man trailer has been altered.
Really?
Yes. From the very first time it came out, you know, we see the scenes where him swinging through the city and him zipping by the buildings and the posters and the billboards and everything. But if you watch the TV spots now, there's a new poster that wasn't there beforehand for a certain musical that is in Hawkeye.
Roger, really?
There is a billboard that was added just recently with Roger's musical in Spider-Man. So it's... They have to, like... If not anything, just have him zip by, or have your Hawkeye seeing the JK interview. You know, I'm going, is Peter, you know, Peter Parker, you know, see him having that, at least that connection, you know, and it would be enough for me.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I've forgotten. I'm just rewatching all the MCU movies, so maybe I do remember, but I don't remember any interactions between Hawkeye and Spider-Man. Do you?
Well, on Civil War, there was a moment because they were both there in the battle. And I think they did bump into each other for like a hot second. I think it was Spider-Man and Captain America. Then you had Falcon and Winter Soldier fighting him. And I don't know if I don't remember if there was. I thought maybe they did.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because I know you had Hawkeye and Black Widow, and I know him and Ant-Man kind of had like a, they weren't fighting, but they were working together, and like Ant-Man was on the Arrow, so I don't, and I think maybe Hawkeye and Cap had a thing for a moment.
So I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
Yeah. So maybe he does zip by in Hawkeye. Who knows?
Like I say, because they did it when they did the commercial, when they added Rogers musical, they put Hawkeye and Spider-Man in the same spot. And I believe Spider-Man takes place in the wintertime, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I think it's Christmas. So, again, everything yells and points that they should have at least a cameo crossover. Maybe just in the trailer, or not the trailer, the post-credit scenes or something, you know.
They actually confirmed something, too, just to stay on the Spider-Man tip, is they were interviewing Jamie Foxx, Willem Dafoe, and Alfred Molina, all three of them were there, which is actually kind of cool. And they were being interviewed by, not Tom. Tom was there through like a Zoom call. He said, hey guys, what do you think about coming back? So they were talking about like, hey, we're back now. The CG effects they use, I don't have to use those mechanical arms anymore. And basically they were talking to Dafoe and like, so, you know, William, you know, we're back. What's your reason why? And apparently it's a personal reason. And then I read the next day in an article, I think it was Screen Rant, that they're saying he's the main baddie of Homecoming or No Way Home. So, I mean, it's kind of cool. because it's going to kind of come to circle together with all the Spider-Man movies, like the first one to this one. So I'm
looking forward to a Spider-Man movie to actually take place in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, how many movies of Spider-Man, iteration of Spider-Man, has he been in New York? Maybe, but like a few times. Usually he leaves. Like, I know the training time, he was like, when he got Tony's suit, he was doing that a little bit, but then he left. He saved Tony in New York, but like to actually be in New York, because I even think on his first movie, didn't they go to Washington?
Yeah, so that was a school field trip. They went there, matched there. They got back. They went to the prom, which I think was in New York as well.
But again, like the actual classic Spider-Man zipping through the city.
Yeah, and then he was zipping through like suburbia. So, mm-hmm. And the second one, he was far away from home. He was in London. So
yeah, nope. That's what I'm saying. I'd love to see this Spider-Man in New York for a change.
Yeah, that's wow. Okay,
that's like one. I was like, okay,
I didn't notice that. Shit. Well, he's gonna be in New York for this one.
Yeah, so in Hawkeye, we got a surprise, but it wasn't a big surprise. Everybody's like, if you didn't see this coming, sorry. We see that Elena came in, you know, to battle with Hawkeye, which we saw that coming from the end of Black Widow. So, you know, we get that hint with, and I always get her name wrong. Who does she play? Elaine.
You're talking about, Madame Hydra?
Yeah.
Valentina, Claudia, something.
Yeah. So we know she's there. We are getting hints. We know she was there for, you know, at the end of the Captain or the Winter Soldier television series and, or the Falcon series, I meant. And then, of course, we see her at the end of Black Widow. So we know that she's kind of putting together what we originally thought would be
The Dark Avengers.
My thought process is that this could maybe we could be seeing the birth of the West Coast Avengers. Because who else did we have at the end of WandaVision?
Yeah, we had White Vision. Mm-hmm. So I think you and one of our vendor buddies, yeah, kind of brought that up. I was like, I didn't really think of the West Coast Avengers, but I guess it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean. Kind of keep Hawkeye in, and I can't. I'm just kind of curious. I think you and I had a little disagreement on this. I don't see Elena trying to kill Hawkeye. I think she had too many chances.
I think she's gonna try to kill him again. I mean,
she has so many chances.
She saved this girl. She saved Kate Bishop too. So you think maybe she's after Echo and not?
I don't know. Because she had a chance to kill Echo too.
She threw Echo like there was nothing.
Yeah, she threw Echo like she was nothing. She even stopped Echo from killing Hawkeye, which I think you made the comment. Well, maybe she wants to take, you know, she wants the blood, you know, the blood kill.
That's what I think.
So I don't know. They were just I didn't see her. It's a Black Widow that would have been over quicker.
Do you think she knows Elena is what's her name, sister? Or is she? Because I think he just calls her like a Black Widow, so I guess he doesn't know her.
Yeah, because I don't think they had a chance to meet, because again, you know, she didn't reconnect with him until just before Endgame, and he went off and ran off and did his Ronin thing. So maybe he does know, you know, because technically didn't, because Black Widow happened before the snap.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe during that time, you know, he did investigating and found out who she was. So yeah, well, that's where we're going to see him. There's a lot to like bookend right now, you know, in the next two episodes. So very interesting to see how they do it. And I think this will sort of leave a cliffhanger-esque to see where it goes to the next one.
Yeah, to see if, you know, where it leads in the MCU, or if they'll have a season two, which I don't know. I mean, but maybe they plan on season two. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah. Again, but they are combining this Dark Avengers thing going on, so that has to come to a head at some point. When are we going to see that? That's these storylines that we've seen scattered throughout, you know, this year.
Well, from what I heard from Feige, he said, I think it was a couple of years ago, that as far as like, you know, arcs go, they're not going to be as big as the Infinity arc was. You're going to have a lot of little smaller mm-hmm. arcs. So, you know, that brings about what you're just saying. Like, maybe we could have a smaller arc end sooner, and then.
But where?
Like,
that's my only problem. Is where. The whole blip thing and the Loki thing and all those other ones, I can see that coming to a head in Spider-Man and then into, you know, the Multiverse of Madness. I see that. This one, I don't see anything. That's maybe Secret Invasions. That comes to fruition. I mean, that's the only thing.
That's the only logical thing I can think of. Right?
Yeah, that's the only thing I see that's on the pages right now, or you know, that's on the books for them to do. Is Secret Invasion. We just don't have enough information about Secret Invasion. You know, we know we have a little bit of the cast. But I thought with Secret Invasion, I thought that was supposed to be off-world. You know, from everything. The last time we saw Nick Fury, where was he?
On a spaceship in space with the Skrulls. So.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Okay, so that's Secret Invasion should be in space. So I don't see how... Where's this storyline going to finally take its, you know, its closure? Are they going to let that hang for that long? I mean... If you really think about it, it all started, you know, beginning of this year with, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier. So, you know, how's that going to come to an end? That's a long cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's you don't want to leave them hanging too long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I no clue. I mean, are they going to redo all the Netflix series and start releasing them again?
That's where I don't know. I don't know if they're just going to let that be there, like be in the ether, say, yeah, they exist. We don't need to like readjust, you know, redo them. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we don't know if everybody wants to come back. We do know Charlie Cox. Definitely we got the confirmation. Now, there wasn't that he is coming back. The confirmation was from Feige. These were his words that if Daredevil comes back, it will be done with Charlie Cox. That's what he said. So he didn't say it was for sure.
Daredevil's going to be on Kingpin, yeah. You know, or Kingpin or Hawkeye next week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know Feige. He's like the perfect politician.
Got to be.
So, but yeah, we'll see where they go and what happens. I mean, I'm so looking forward to it.
You're going to get a lot of answers this week in Hawkeye and then in No Way Home. Lots of stuff. Things is going to be definitely different after next week.
Yeah. I would love to see it. I've always wanted them to do it. And I guess they sort of did it and it flopped, but with how I'm trying to blank on the show that flopped.
Which one?
It started off as a movie. Shoot.
Buffy?
No. In the MCU. I can see the cast. I see everyone. With Black Bolt.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No. The other one. There was another one. It had Black Bolt in it. I don't want to say the Eternals.
Oh, Inhumans. The Inhumans.
Yeah. I love that they did a movie and then it went to the show. I would love to see them somehow do that with, I think you were kind of hinting at it, with Spider-Man and Hawkeye, because, like, literally, Spider-Man comes out in the middle of episode 5 and 6. It would be so cool to have, like, a connection that something happened in Hawkeye that you have to go see the movies this weekend.
Mm.
You know, I would love to see that connection, because I sort of miss that, you know, that
like,
that
the ending of Hawkeye is in No Way Home?
That or, like, a scene sort of happens, you know, midway through.
Like, he's flying through the city, and he sees Kate Bishop and, like, you know, Hawkeye just shooting an arrow at some random
game. And I'm sorry, dude. I am just in love with Hailee Steinfeld. I think she is amazing at that character. She kills it. I have so many people, some friends of ours, that are just like, I don't like her. She's too snarky. I go, and Hawkeye isn't. Jeremy Renner's character is a smartass, all right? He's always got some smartass comments.
I love that the dinner scene. So awesome, where she says the mom and the swordsman are talking to both of them. And so, is that your partner? He's like, nope. And she's like, yep. He's like, are you guys working together? She's like, yes, we are. Nope. He just keeps like just shutting her down, like, no.
But yeah, that's why I was like, everyone's like, oh, I don't like it. I was like, but she's Hawkeye. She's that personality. So I don't think we're going to see a second season because isn't Jeremy on the Mayor's Town or whatever that is?
Yeah, he's got another streaming thing going on.
Yeah, so I don't know
if he might be. I'm not gonna say he's gone forever, but they're gonna put Hawkeye in. You know,
well, retirement. Pass it over to Hailee and let her create her team. Maybe she becomes the Hawkeye leader of the West Coast Avengers, not Jeremy. You know, instead of Cliff, let her be. Let there be a Hawkeye that controls the West Coast Avengers. Let it be her.
When I'm that's what you're hinting at. West Coast Avengers, Young Avengers, you're throwing all of that stuff in there. Yeah. I think I said that before when they were talking about all these series coming out. And I think once we saw Falcon and Winter Soldier, they introduced like a young type of kid there. He was like the grandson of like one of the first Captain Americas, and he was black, and he was part of the Young Avengers. So you got Hailee Steinfeld. She's part of the Young – well, Kate Bishop is.
Yeah.
And you got Ironheart. She's part of another Young Avengers too. So those three are coming. And then –
Maybe that's where we see this come to a head is in Ironheart. Then that would probably be the only show I can say that for sure we haven't heard anything, and that would be wise to bring all of these characters back and have.
And not even call them like the young, just call them the West Coast Avengers. Yeah. I think that's better. Like, the Young Avengers just sounds so weak. Like, we're Young Avengers. Let's do West Coast. It's better. Like, you have the Avengers here, then you have another, you know, quartet in the West Coast. I'm good with it. I mean, the actors they've chosen so far have been, you know, spot on, especially Hailee Steinfeld. So I'm ready for it. But, you know, let's see where they're going. Like, you know, they got to wrap these episodes up in the next two. And hopefully it's good.
Yep. So you got anything there?
I think that was the last. Well, I got one last thing here. It's here he is. Letitia Wright will return to Black Panther next month. There were some rumors going around that, you know, of course, if you've seen it in the papers, that she doesn't, you know, she's not a big fan of getting vaxxed. And if you're going to go work on these films, you got to get vaxxed to the MCU. So she's been holding out. So apparently they rewrote the whole entire movie. This is what I read. All right.
Where did you read this and when?
This was from Geek Buddies. I read it on their website.
Would you know when?
It was a couple of days ago.
Okay.
Yeah, look up John Rocha's site. I read it.
Well, no, the last time I had heard it is like she still refuses to get it, and they're like basically, you know, trying to kind of.
They're trying to make M'Baku the next Black Panther. That's
which makes sense. Which technically, wouldn't he be the Black Panther? Who took over the Black Panther when in those 5 years?
That's right.
It would have been him. Because guess what? He almost beat T'Challa.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, that's the one thing everybody forgets. Yo, T'Challa went away for 5 years. Who was the Black Panther during that time?
There had to be a Black Panther.
There had to be a Black Panther, and when he came back, he had to somehow, you know, get that title back. But instead, you know, he just showed up, and everybody rejoined him real quick.
Yeah, no words were said. So
but yeah, I can see it being like he in book of picking up, which you know would make sense. Because I think he was in the book, if I remember correctly. I think he was,
but I know at first he was Mad Ape, and then. Yeah. I think later iterations, he became a Black Panther. And I guess that's, they were setting up with Letitia Wright. She was going to be the next one, but I guess, you know, don't want to get vaxxed. That's on you.
Yep. That's the decisions you have to make. And, you know, unfortunately you have to like deal with the consequences. So to speak of, you know, when you decide that you don't want to do something, it's, and especially in this kind of, that kind of industry where you are in a very close quarters, you know, with people and you're in a big group with folks, you know, because, you know, you'll spend hours upon hours, you know, day, almost a full day trapped in a little room, you know, shooting a scene over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's one of those things like you work for, you know, a multi-million dollar company. They're just telling you, hey man, it's part of your job. We need you to get vaxxed and you're going to be no, then they don't have to pay you, man. They're rewriting this whole script now, apparently.
And if that same thing, it falls into what happened to Gina. You know, everybody complains about what happened to Gina, but she has to follow a certain policy and her job, and, you know, that's kind of what happened there. Sonic 2. Did you see the trailer for Sonic 2?
Looks good.
Yeah, they're bringing in Knuckles and Ildris is the voice. I thought that was great.
They're making Knuckles the villain, which he was in the first couple of Sonic games. I thought we saw Tails at the ending of the first one.
And Tails is in this one. It's just, you know, the typical annoying, you know, sidekick.
So we get Knuckles in this one. So they're gonna
and Jim Carrey back for a sequel, which is a very rare thing. Carrey doesn't really do sequels.
He must like Dr. Robotnik. I think he's just having fun.
I mean, you had Ace Ventura, and Dumb and Dumber finally came up, but he didn't want to do sequels for Dumb and Dumber for a long time. That's why we got the bad knockoff first.
Oh, the prequel.
Yeah. Harold met Lloyd or something.
Harold met Sally or something.
It was a knockoff of How Harry Met Sally, but I think it was How Harold Met Lloyd.
Yeah.
So to see him back, and again, he's rocking that mustache like a champ.
That mustache is tremendous. That's a tremendous stash. If I could grow like that, please, but it says something. He must really like working on it.
Yeah.
So he's probably having fun, and if he's having fun, he's going to keep doing it.
He's the only person on set most of the time. So,
yeah, pretty much it's him, and he's working as CG type characters on there. So he must love it, dude. He's got to be having a ball. I mean, he's at that age now. Like, hey man, I just want to have fun. So he's going to have fun. He can play Dr. Robotnik for like four or five films, or maybe in a series. Who knows?
So. Yep. And like what you were saying earlier, guys. Yeah, The Witcher does come out in 2 days, so on the 14th. Everything I have read about it, it will cover the first book. I know this is funny, but with The Witcher, how The Witcher was done is the first season was based off the first two pre-books. This season, the second season, will actually focus on the first novel, which is called Blood of Elves. So we're going to see more stories. This one is going to be focused and be very more similar to the game, to where you are at The Witcher's you know, camp in their castle, and you're seeing training, you're seeing Ciri getting trained and things of that nature. And Yennefer is going to be off doing her own journey. So I'm trying to catch up. I'm trying to finish Blood Elves before it comes out, because I wanted to make sure I got that updated in my head.
Yeah,
because it's been a while since I read it, but yeah, it's I'm kind of, and luckily that's one thing I will love about, you know, dude, if you ever want to try to get into reading books again, the Witcher series is so good because it's super easy. They're small books,
like they're yeah.
What's that?
What, like 150, 200?
No, not that small. No, they're closer to like a 300.
Oh,
300 or so. But yeah, there's very, very tiny books. So you don't, you know, they're easy to burn through pretty quickly. Hmm. The only downfall I will say, like with this one, is like most books, I guess I'm so used to reading the Expanse book, which are like really small chapters, but there's so many chapters. This one, like one chapter is like takes you almost 40 minutes to read. You know, I'm used to chapters taking 10 minutes to read. So I'm like, whew, this is okay. I'm in for the long haul for this hour when I sit down for a chapter. But yeah, so yeah, if you guys are interested, Blood Elves is what this season will be based off of, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm just, you know, Cavill coming back, and as that character, and again as the king of the geeks, he knows his shit. I was reading some stuff about, you know, them filming, and you know, he would literally say, "Hey, on this book, on page 233, can we use this line?" You know, that he knows his source material, which I think is amazing. Again, that's why. A lot of folks, yeah, we're referring to him as, you know, King of the Geeks, because, I mean...
Yeah, dude, there's a picture on his Instagram page. It was an older one that literally you see him building, like, his own game set, like, his own computer.
Oh, no, there's a video. You can watch him building it on video. Yeah, he put it on Twitter and I think on his YouTube channel.
He builds that whole thing. He's a big Superman sweaty, too. Like, he's always talked about doing Man of Tomorrow. That's, like, his like, he would love to do that if he came back, so, yeah.
He's a Warhammer fan, too. He paints the figurines.
Oh, does he paint Warhammer?
Yeah, there's I can never remember the British talk show host that he does, but it was funny. It was him, Tom Holland, and
Graham Norton.
Yeah, and they're all three on there, and he makes a comment. Graham asks him, he's like, "Oh, so I know you're into this World of Warcraft, you know, figurine thing." He goes, "No. He's like, I play World of Warcraft. No, it's Warhammer you're talking about." And he explains, you know, there's two sides to Warhammer. There's the figurine collection and drawing it, and the game side of it. And he kind of explains it, and you know, of course Graham's like, okay, yeah, and you go to other people's houses and do this. He goes, yeah, it's so much fun to get together, have, you know, act this stuff out. And Tom's like, can I come with you? I was like, what a great Warhammer game session would that be? Spider-Man and Superman
dude, that'd be epic. And have like Joe Manganiello right there, he plays all that shit too.
And then I think Vin Diesel is also a big gamer too. I mean he had all that, you know. You know, him and Vin Diesel have put a different image on geeks. You know, yes, we become a more accepted and open into the, you know, the pop culture. But now we're seeing, you know, these guys who can play these characters and look like these, you know, massive, you know, bigger than life characters, but they're just as big of a nerd as we are. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, well, Vin Diesel did make a movie about a witch, Witcher. So he was.
It was an okay one. I don't know if did you see that.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was not the greatest movie in the world, but, you know, it was entertaining.
No, I knew Vin was a big WoW fan, so I didn't know that. He had his
That's own. One of the reasons he did that movie, because he was such a big WoW fan. He was like, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, the movie's, look, it's not great, but it's entertaining. Check it out, guys. It's called Witch Hunter, or Witcher, not Witcher, it's Witch Hunter.
Yeah, I think it is something Witcher, so, Witch Hunter. Witcher. So
check it out.
That's the one thing I meant to ask. That's the other one. Shoot, because it came out today, or came out 2 days ago. We hadn't had a chance to talk about it. Did you see the Halo series trailer?
Yeah.
What'd you think, man?
It's good.
Are you a Halo gamer?
I used to be heavily.
All right, yeah.
I got tired of getting my ass kicked in multiplayer, so I just stopped.
Oh, but, okay. You got your butt hurt then, huh?
I did get my butt hurt. Tons of times, because people kept cheating, especially the kids, like just fucking elbowing me and headbutting me to death.
Well, our friend Kelly on Facebook, she is, and she's part of a guild on Halo. She like would go to the tournaments in Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm kind of interested. I posted the trailer. I haven't heard her reply, but yeah, I'm really interested, yo, to see how they do everything. Every response I've seen to what they saw from the fans, they loved. They saw the training facility that they saw. They were like, oh, the armor is based off of, I think, not the first game. I think it was like, there was a I'm trying to remember which game series it was based off of, but there was like, oh no, that armor's from this. And so they were like, they're really hitting the marks, and it's on Paramount Plus. This is, I didn't even see this coming.
Neither did I, because I thought this series was a long way from being done, and now they got a trailer. It looks like they're ready to drop, I guess, next year. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. So I'm looking forward to it. Now.
Sweaties, check it out. Like it looks good.
I never got, yeah, I played, I think I played Halo for a little bit, but I never was one of those ones that got like super into it. But again, we definitely have a Halo sweaty in our Facebook chat or in our group. You know, if anybody wants to join in there and talk, you know, talk, get sweaty with, about Halo, I'm sure, you know, she can do it. And she's still Halo. Part of that group too. I still see them chit chatting every once in a while.
Oh, they're going to get riled up because Halo's coming soon, dude.
I know she posted a couple of days ago. She had her dual screen up. She had both her TVs like up with Halo.
Halo
and
up there.
Yeah, and she was. I guess they were having like a little tournament in her house. Oh, so boy. Yeah, because of the new Halo game. So
it has begun. People will be staying in their houses. Not like they're not now. But Halo.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, thank you guys for everybody that did come out to see us at the at KaiserCon. We had so much fun again. And thank you guys for like welcoming us into that community. I'm looking forward to doing more things with you guys and, you know, and meeting you guys. I talked to a couple of the booths there that actually might fall into another podcast I'm working on the side that, you know, I might be able to, you know, get some of those guys to chat in. And, but yeah, guys, it was a fun community. So make sure you guys do get out there and see them. You know, or just if you're not here in Orlando, so just support your local cons, not just your not just your big cons, but support your little mom and pop cons. Cause that's where you get your true diehard fans. And that's what you really, those are the ones you want to support.
Especially like a couple of tables that were adjacent to us had some very interesting stuff on one side and like a great story on the other side. I thought like the premise for that one guy's story, I think is awesome. And when you finish that book, you got to let me know.
Yeah, the War of 1834. So I'm looking forward to reading that. All right, guys, make sure you do check us out on Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies. We are continuing our Matrix series this month, so make sure you check that out. And in January, guys, we're kicking it off with X Games, because the X Games take place in January. We've got an X Game movies that we're just going to dive into, and then the rest of the year has already been planned out. We got a lot of fun things planned there, so
everything is subject to change.
It's still TBA.
It's planned out, but there's always an asterisk next to you guys.
All right, well, anything else you got, man?
No, man, let's get out of here, get to the asylum, kids. All right. See you soon.
Later.